Right. Well, our church has always supported Mother's Memorial since its inception, and have been a pretty good giving church to Mother's Memorial. Mother's Memorial does a lot of things throughout the entire world. Many Bible school students have their tuition paid by Mother's Memorial. Many, and I'm not talking about in the United States, but also all around the globe, foreign missions. Many times Mother's Memorial is buying washers and dryers and different things like that. And so a lot of the funds that go to Mother's Memorial go outside of the United States, but there's also a large portion of it that stays right here in Wisconsin to help mothers or women's ministries do all of the different events. And who in here is going to ladies' retreat this weekend? Awesome. Good show of hands. I know some of our ladies are actually already there. Sister Jessica Rivas, which is our Section 3 ladies rep, she's already up there working. And my wife picked up one of the speakers today and has been working with getting that all taken care of. And so some of the ladies are already up there. But it's such an awesome thing to give to Mother's Memorial. And so we just want to remind you of our giving options today. There's four ways to give. You can give online at cgcmadison.org/giving. You can always give in person by placing your offering in one of the boxes at the entrances. You can give by mail by just sending in a check to 5301 Commercial Avenue, or you can use the Church Center app and use the mobile giving option there, and you can always give in that way. Now, if you want to give to Mother's Memorial this season, this is the kickoff of it, basically. But there'll be a couple of months or so of a window of time that you're allowed to give, and we can receive that offering very easily by just marking any of these options with the words Mother's Memorial on the offering that you give. Now, we also want to remind you of some things that are coming up. This Sunday, May 5th, we have a men's ministry service at 6 p.m., and so that's actually going to be at Marvin Renvick's farm, and so we'll be doing our first stakeout of the season. So just a reminder how that works if you haven't been a part of that. Bring a big piece of meat. We're going to be grilling out, and we'll have some speakers out there, a little bit of worship, and it'll be a great time to fellowship and get together with the men. Next week, Friday, May 10th, is our all-church prayer at 7 p.m. And so this is a great time to get together for corporate prayer. We come together at 7. It's only about 1 hour. And so we would like to see all of the members of Calvary Gospel Church attend that, and that would be a great time of prayer and fellowship as well. Saturday, May 11th, is going to be a special CPR certification class set up through the Take Aim Connection Group. And so in order to be a part of that, you have to register. So it's going to be May 11th. It's going to be from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. It's going to be hosted right here in the building. The cost is $35, and you need to sign up at the Church Center app in the Take Aim group. And so you have to kind of search in the group, and then that's how you get involved with that. If you have any questions about that, you can talk to Brittany, or you can talk to Kirby Waters, and they can help you out with that. Sunday, May 12th, is a special Mother's Day service at 11 a.m. And so there'll be a lot of awesome things. The theme this year is No Greater Joy. And so that'll start at 11 a.m. So we want to see all of the moms here. There'll be some gifts and some different things for that. But there'll also be a very special service with the sermon directed toward mothers and Mother's Day. And so it's a great time. If your mom, she doesn't attend church, it's a great time to bring her to church. Amen. Sunday, May 19th, we want to remind everybody it's Pentecost Sunday coming up. And so we're going to have a very special Pentecost Sunday. We're going to call it Experience Pentecost. That'll be our theme. And so we'll be preaching a very evangelistic style of message. And the service structure will be mildly changed so that we are more evangelistic in the approach of the service. So there will be some minor changes. But we want to remind everybody, Phil Demas, our pastor, administrative pastor, he's the one who made these cards, and he wanted to remind everybody that he's made some cards. They have the Experience Pentecost, and have all the information for the church on the back, and he wants to make sure everyone grabs those. We don't want any cards left over by Pentecost Sunday. We want to get those all out. So if you would do us a favor, would you grab a couple of these, pray about it, and hand these out to some coworkers maybe sometime this week, and that would be a great way to reach out to everybody who you would like to have come to Pentecost Sunday and experience Pentecost for themselves. Amen. At this time, we're going to transition over to prayer. And at this time, if we're going to do something special. Leandra, are you here with, is your son here tonight? Awesome. We want to pray for you guys. They have traveled all across the country. Their little boy Zippy, as many of us have known about, he's been struggling with a cancer situation. And so they're going to do some very special things, some surgeries and different things happening coming up very soon. But would you mind coming up here? Let's all stand. We're going to pray over her and anoint Zippy with some oil. And we'd like our ministers, our pastoral staff, would you guys come down here right now? And we're just going to pray over her and over this little boy. If anybody else is sick in body tonight and you have need of healing, this would be a great time. If you want to come up to the front with your hands lifted, we'll know who you are. We'd like to pray for you while we're doing this right now. In Jesus' name, here we go. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. God, we ask you, God, right now to touch Zippy, God. Lay your hand on his life, Lord Jesus. Help him, Lord, right now, Lord. Touch his body, God. Give him healing. Give him strength, oh God. Give the doctors wisdom. Give everyone in this family, God, a breath of fresh air and renewal of their spirit, oh God. It's been a long haul, Lord God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would bless them, Lord God, with a joy in their spirit that we see evident in this boy right now, God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would continue, Lord God, to give them strength in their spirit, Lord God. Heal his body in the name of Jesus, God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, touch him, Lord. Help him, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. At this time, we're going to transition to our worship service. Sister Abby, you may remain standing or you can come down the front, whatever you feel to do. Amen.
Just one name. If you're not done working, done moving, then I'm not done waiting. If you're not done working, then I'm not done praising. I believe you're moving, so I'm not done waiting. I believe you're working, so I'm not done praising. I believe you're moving, so I'm not done waiting. I believe you're working. Yes, thank you, Jesus. I believe you're moving, so I'm not done waiting. I believe you're working, so I'm not done praising. And I will praise you. I will praise you. I won't let the stones cry. No, I won't let the stones cry out. I will praise you, 'cause something in me. The higher I'll reach, the greater the cost, the more I'll believe for. The longer the wait, oh, the longer I'll praise. The stronger the pain, oh, the stronger my faith grows. The higher the need, yes, the higher I'll reach. Greater the cost, the more I'll believe for. Yes, and I will praise you. I will praise you. I won't let the stones cry. I won't let the stones cry out. Yes, I will praise you, 'cause something in me.
Let's praise him some more. Thank you, Jesus. God, you are good. In my struggles, in my weaknesses, in my bad times, in my good times, God, you are still good. You have a plan for us, God. Thank you for who you are, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. You can be seated tonight. Tonight is the first Wednesday of the month, and so tonight is our family focus service. We've been trying to build upon what Pastor Roy has been teaching in these different series as we've been going on. And so the first couple of months, Pastor Roy was on opportunities, and we talked about opportunities being all around us. In fact, obstacles are an opportunity, right, at times. Last month, we talked about boldness, and we talked about how that came from being with Jesus. We see that. We spend time with Jesus. We know who we are in him, and that's where the boldness came from. We read that. The verse that Pastor Roy has been using has been Acts 4, verse 13, and it says, when they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus. So Pastor Roy has been having us go through boldness, and I have to be honest, it's been challenging for me, right? Speaking does not, like, we all have our things that we can do. Like, for me, it's not bold to speak with a microphone. I could do that. Right, but there's other things in my life that I feel like sitting here, Pastor Roy speaking, I feel the conviction like, wow, I could be more bold in this area. I need to step out. I feel God telling me to take a step in a direction sometimes, and sometimes it's like, ooh, I'm a little hesitant, right? And sometimes I forget that the times in my life, Pastor Roy, when I have taken a step out, God has been there, and he has been there to support me, especially when I'm taking a step out according to his word. So tonight, I want to start by just asking a question here, right? We're going to see, Pastor Roy, how we're doing, okay? This is just a check-in. In your own words, when I say the word boldness, what do you think of? Not from a scriptural standpoint, not from a spiritual, not from a godly standpoint. In your own words, you can raise your hand. What do you think of when I say the word boldness? Look at this guy right here.
Even though you're scared of it, you still do it.
Okay, even though you're scared, you still do it. This is good. Hold on. Let me get you the mic.
Strong.
Braveness.
What?
Braveness.
We're just going to go down the aisle? No? Okay. I like your shirt. Bucky's support. Okay. Boldness. What do you think of when I say that word? Somebody. Ryan.
Action.
Okay, that's good. Who else? Boldness. Oh, all the way over there. Seriously, you're going to make me run? What do you got, Brittany? Scream it. Confidence. Oh, okay. What else? Oh, okay. This is your one time. You know that, right? Okay, this is it.
Being faithful.
That's good, too. The next ones we're going to get $5 bills, so you wasted it. No, I'm just kidding. What do you got, sister?
Leadership.
Okay, these are all really good answers. You know why I asked that question? I like to know, because sometimes we get up here and we say things like, holiness, and you guys have no idea. Like, we all have different ideas of what this is. Boldness, this is good. Those are good answers. It means when Pastor Roy's talking about boldness, you're kind of seeing it through the right lens here, okay? So what about when we start talking about the Bible, right? And don't quote this verse back to me. I'm not going to accept that as an answer. What about when we talk about the Bible and godliness and spiritual boldness? What comes to your mind? We got one right here. Hold on.
Fear of God and being faithful in him, and not afraid to speak the truth.
Oh, that's good. The mouth of babes. What else? Boldness in the scripture. Spiritual boldness. Oh, all the way over there. I got to quit walking down the aisles here. Okay. I'm sorry, cameraman.
I think of Paul.
Yeah.
I always picture Paul because he stood before kings. He went into synagogues, he went up on Mars Hill, and he always spoke the truth, and he shared Jesus with everyone, and he spoke it in their terms.
Good. What else? Somebody behind me? Oh, little man over here, what you got? Hold on, wait for the mic. What do you think of spiritual boldness?
Being faithful and doing what God did?
Faithful and doing what God said. Look at this. Somebody's paying attention, Pastor Roy. Anybody else? Boldness. I'm going to walk back this way. Get some. Oh, there she is. Sister Jeanette. Sister Thunder, what you got?
The picture I have in my head is standing on my foundation, who is Jesus, and his power and presence just flowing through me out.
Standing on the foundation of Jesus. Oh, that's good. Brother Rick, did you have your hand up? Here, hold on.
I think in a counterculturally, in a dark world we live in the word of God is not cool or popular, but being bold is proclaiming that word no matter what.
Awesome. Thank you. There's a hand over here, little man. Boldness, spiritual boldness.
How Jesus was like to the Sadducees and priests, he was just like, that is wrong.
Yeah, he said it the way it is. Jesus to the Sadducees and priests, that's good. Nope, you're done. Yes, sister.
Assurance in God.
Assurance in God, I like that too. So many great answers. Okay, Pastor Roy, we can continue with the series. People have a good idea what boldness is, and then you, when you talk about it and tell them what to do, they know the idea of what you're talking about with the word boldness. So last time, I introduced this principle that boldness was because they had been with Jesus. And so when we are with Jesus and know who we are in Jesus, boldness will come out of that. Very similar to what Sister Jeanette said. If our foundation is God, and if I can add God's word, right, then boldness will come out of that because God is the source of that. I think of a TV show. And just so you're all aware, I have some YouTube videos to show tonight. Not yet. YouTube videos to show tonight. And after that offering one, we're on thin ice here. We're just going to see how this works. I think of a TV show that starts out and says, space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no person, no one has gone before. Were you all quoting that with me, or were you like telling the stories of your favorite episodes? Okay, I couldn't tell. To boldly go. This is interesting. It's almost like a mission statement, Pastor Roy. It's almost like Star Trek is quoting Matthew 28:19. We're continuing a mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before. And so tonight I want to introduce another principle to us about boldness, is that boldness is not always with the crowd. Sometimes boldness is where no one has gone before. Sometimes boldness is where no one in your family has gone before. Your parents haven't gone before. Your church hasn't gone before. Your neighborhood hasn't gone before. It's, I'm going to step into an area that no one has gone before. Sometimes boldness is, hey, there's only a few of us, but we're still going to go do it. Right? This is really difficult. So the title of the sermon here is tonight, the lesson is boldness, blending in or standing out. I purposely didn't put a period or anything at the end of that. Blending in or standing out. It's so difficult, I think, to stand out from the crowd. I think naturally we want to conform. It's different to not follow the crowd. The crowd is so appealing. And I'm not even talking about the world just yet. I'm just talking about the crowd is appealing. Have anybody heard of the name Solomon Ash? Brother Millen? Anybody else? Solomon Ash. Phil, you saw the YouTube videos, man. That doesn't count. Solomon Ash was a psychologist, and he studied the psychology of conformity. He was born in Warsaw, Poland in like 1905 or 6. He moved to the United States in 1920. Boy, he missed out on that, didn't he? 1920. And he's one of the many psychology researchers who generated new ideas about human psychology in response to the events of World War II. His experiments on conformity are well known. He did this years ago. I don't know if it was the 40s or the 60s, but he did these experiments where he would have a group of people where everybody knew what was going on except for the one person. And everybody was supposed to choose the wrong answer on purpose, and the one person was then asked what his thought the answer was. Okay, before we hit play, I'm showing you a video that has two parts. Okay, and so the first part of the video is them describing how this experiment went. Okay, it's showing it live. And the second part of the video is a black and white TV show from 1963 called Candid Camera. How many people have heard of that? Candid Camera, where they then decided, let's see how far we can take this conformity thing. So go ahead and hit play on the first video.
A volunteer is told that he's taking part in a visual perception test. What he doesn't know is that the other participants are actors, and he's the only person taking part in a real test, which is actually about group conformity.
The experiment you'll be taking part in today involves the perception of line length. Your task will be simply to look at the line here on the left and indicate which of the three lines on the right is equal to it in length. So, for example...
The actors have been told to match the wrong lines. The volunteer will be monitored to see if he gives the correct answer or if he goes along with the opinion of the group and gives the wrong answer. In the first test, the correct answer is two.
One.
Two.
One. Once again, the correct answer is two.
Three.
The actual experiment has been repeated many times, and the results have been supported again and again. We will conform to the group. Again, we're very social creatures. We're very much aware of what people around us think. We want to be liked. We don't want to be seen to rock the boat, so we will go along with the group. Even if we don't believe what people are saying, we'll still go along.
One.
Group dynamics is one of the most powerful forces in human psychology.
One.
The gentleman in the elevator now is a candidate star. These folks who are entering, the man with the white shirt, the lady with the trench coat, and subsequently one other member of our staff, will face the rear. And you'll see how this man in the trench coat at his watch, but he's really making an excuse for turning just a little bit more to the wall. Now we'll try it once again. Here's the candidate subject. Here comes the candidate count of staff. Three of them, please. And this man has apparently been in group.
Interesting, isn't it? It's interesting how badly we don't want to stand out or look different or be ridiculed or be wrong. We're so afraid of being wrong that we will face the wrong way, knowing it's the wrong way. You know what this tells me, though? I mean, this is a psychologist say did this, right? Like, what they learned is our natural tendency is this way. And so when Pastor Roy's speaking about boldness, you're like, well, that's just not me. No, that's your natural tendency. That doesn't mean it's not you. And so the reason I'm bringing this up is because it's important to realize why we do things. It's not because it's a good reason sometimes. Sometimes we do it because of this. It's just the way our brain's wired. Our brain's just wired to be lemmings and follow everybody, right? Or it's good for church sometimes. But also, when it comes to like stepping out and doing something different, it's very difficult. Being bold literally goes against the instinct inside of us in most cases. It goes against our flesh. We try to do a family Bible study. It doesn't happen every night, but we try to do it the nights we can. And we just read one chapter of the Bible. We got through Leviticus by reading two a night just to get through, right? And at the end, I asked the kids, what do you remember from the lesson, right? Just a simple question. What do you remember? I did that with all of you, remember? I asked them, what do you remember from the lesson? And we were reading in Numbers 20, verse 8, and this is what it said. You know, it's a story of Moses hitting the rock, okay? And Pastor Roy, you talked about belligerence versus boldness. We're going to think about that as we go here. Numbers 20, verse 8, God says, take the staff and assemble the community. You and your brother Aaron are to speak to the rock while they watch, and it will yield its water. What did he say? Speak to the rock, and it will yield its water. But he also said, get everybody around you. There's a big group of people. They're all going to be standing around. Don't forget that you hit it last time. This time you're going to speak to it. And it will yield its water. You will bring out water for them from the rock and provide drink for the community and their livestock. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron summoned the assembly in front of the rock. And Moses said to them, listen, you rebels, must we bring water out of this rock for you? Then Moses raised his hands and struck the rock twice with the staff so that abundant water gushed out and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust me to demonstrate my holiness in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this assembly into the land that I've given them. We get done with our Bible study and I say, hey, what do you remember from the story? And we had already read the other story where he struck the rock, and this time he's told to speak to it. And Jack goes, this is Jack, he was 5 years old. Jack says, he hit the rock. And I said, what was he supposed to do? And they said, he was supposed to talk to it. And this is a 5-year-old, mind you. And I say, why do you think he hit the rock? You were 5 when this happened. You're 6 now. I said, why do you think, Jack, that he hit the rock instead of speaking to it? And do you know what a 5-year-old said? Because he was afraid of what people would think about him. I'd never picked that up. You should do Bible studies. You'll learn a lot from God through your children. That's not, when I say Bible studies, I read a chapter and ask them what they heard. Pretty easy. You don't got to be a scholar. I didn't go to Bible school, right? And he said, because he was afraid of what they thought, and it hit me. It's easy to hit the rock because I'm doing something. It's me doing the work. But speaking to it makes me look like a crazy person. And so Moses in this case was belligerent and maybe bold, but not the kind of bold God was looking for. God was looking for him to do something different. I think about Joshua and Caleb in Numbers 13, and I'm not going to read it all for time's sake, but Joshua and Caleb in a part of the 12 tribes, and they go to the promised land where they're supposed to find what? Milk, and supposed to be just a land that's awesome, right? And they go there, and they see great things, and the 12 of them come back, and one by one, what do the 10 say? Can't do it. Oh, this is going to be hard. It's going to be impossible. These guys are big. The grapes are even bigger. Yeah, there's milk and honey, just like God said, but I don't know if we can do it. We've been there. We've been there where we see this God speaking to us. It's like, he told me this was going to happen, but maybe it's not for me. Maybe that's a little too much. And so we see the boldness in who? Joshua and Caleb. They were not willing to conform because they said, we know what God's word says. They didn't have the Bible, but at that time, God had spoken to them saying, I have a promised land for you. If you will go to it, I will take care of everything else. But we're not like that. We're like the other 10. We don't believe in ourselves. Joshua and Jacob, they believed God's report. It's not about, what we're learning here is it's not about what other people are doing. It's not about what other people think. It's not even about what you think. It's about standing on the promise of God and following him. And guess what?
We're not always going to be in the majority. If we were in the majority, it wouldn't take boldness. You just go along with the rest of the lemmings, facing the wrong way in the elevator. That's why we need boldness, to push back, to push past our natural tendency to conform. You see it in school, kids. You see it in high school. It's so much easier to conform than to go the other direction, right? Right? It's true. And so boldness says, hey, I'm going to try to do it a little bit differently. I'm not going to be a cuckoo bird. Okay, come on now. There's a difference here. Don't give us all a bad name. But I'm going to stand for what's true and for what's right. And families, that's what we have to start doing in our households first. Because our children see what we're standing for. And they will conform to what they see as natural. If you're constantly facing the backside of the elevator, your children are going to constantly face the backside of the elevator. But now that we know this conformity thing exists, we can recognize it and start saying, hold on, this might just be me wanting to conform to the crowd, but God's word says this, I'm going to face the other way in the elevator. And God's word supports that. Matthew 7, verse 13 says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is broad that leads to destruction, and many people go that way. How narrow is the gate and difficult that road that leads to life, and few find it. Jesus is saying, my way is not going to be the popular way. My way is not going to be the conforming way. My way is going to be a little different. It's going to be a little bit narrower of a road. Different people are going to, less people are going to choose this option. And that's why when he goes to his disciples in Matthew 4:19, not to his disciples, when he goes to Peter and John, he was walking along the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Follow me, he told them, and I will make you fish for people. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Jesus called Peter and 11 others, and they were called to leave what everyone else was focusing on, to leave what everyone else was caring about, and follow him. He called them to step out, to be different, to not follow the crowds. In fact, they were to fish for men, which sounded crazy at the time. They were called to make a difference in other people's lives. That's what he was calling them for. I have another video here. You can play the second one.
Simply because everyone else is. You might be thinking you'd never go along with this. Or would you? After just 3 weeks, and without knowing why she's doing it, this woman is now conforming perfectly to the group. But what happens if we take the group away? Okay, now she's alone. The crowd is gone, and nobody is watching her except our hidden cameras. What do you think she'll do? She's now conforming to the rules of the group without them even being there. Now, watch what happens when we introduce another outsider who doesn't know the rules.
Have a seat and they'll be out in just a couple minutes. Thanks so much.
We is rolling as more unsuspecting patients arrive. And slowly but surely, what began as a random rule for this woman has now become the social norm for everyone in this waiting room. Here to explain what's going on in their brains is Jonah Berger of the University of Pennsylvania.
This sort of internalized form of herd behavior is part of what we call social learning. Starting at a very early age, when we see members of our group perform a task, our brains literally reward us for following in their footsteps.
When I saw everybody stand up, I felt like I needed to join them. Otherwise, I'm like excluded. Once I decided to go with it, then I felt much more comfortable.
Conformity is how we become socialized, but it can also cause us to develop bad habits or repeat past wrongs.
And it's why even this rebel, who wasn't standing for any of this nonsense, eventually joined the ranks. And the only thing more shocking than seeing how easily conformity affects the way you act is that similar forces are subconsciously shaping the way you think right now.
How many people would have stood? Well, you can keep your hand down, but we like to think that there's some individuality in us, but there's, like, isn't that crazy? Makes you wonder, what are you conforming to that you don't even know about? What are we standing up for and sitting down for that we have no idea why we're doing it? I'm going to take it an even step further and say, why are you here? Don't leave. Even Christianity, even the things we think are good are something that's just like, I'm just doing it. I'm just conforming. Everybody else is doing it. Well, somebody else read God's word 200 years ago, and so they told me what to my parents and blah, we're just kind of following the path. Why are you doing it? What are we conforming to? Now let's look at the family unit. What does our family conform to? Is it something real? Is it something true? Or are we just like, this is what everybody else does. This is what I'm going to do. What I like most about that video was the end. Because the woman, and I'm going to take this video completely out of context, but you're going to make sense of this. Every one of the people that were in on it left one at a time. And only one person was there, and she kept standing up. And because of her, the whole new group of people stood up. If we as a church will start standing up and being bold, other members of our church will stand up and be bold. If we as people, don't look around and say, what's Brother Carrie doing, or what's Sister Lori's doing, or what's Brother Nolan doing? If we will stand up and say, I'm going to do what's right no matter what. I'm going to come down up here and worship. I'm going to come to the altar call. I'm going to repent. Whatever it is, if I will do it, other people will follow. But I don't do it because they follow. I do it because it's right. And so we have the chance to flip the script on conformity. We could say, hey, listen, we're all here. We need a breakthrough. That's why Pastor Roy's been preaching about opportunity and boldness. We need a breakthrough in this community. And it doesn't happen because we're all just standing on the chairs like this. It happens because somebody's willing to stand up and say, I'm going to do something different. My family is going to stand for something different. That woman was able to change the behavior of the other people because now they wanted to conform to her. And that's the way God made it. God made it. So that's our natural tendency, but we can use it for good. We can say, I'm going to be bold and follow the things of God. And God's like, watch the people that follow you. It's going to be like the Pied Piper because they see the goodness that follows your life. By being bold and following God and conforming to his likeness, others will want to conform to his likeness as well. How about Peter? I'm not, you know, just being different and like being called. And this is, the book of 1 Peter,
chapter 2, verse 9, very popular verse, says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his light. Not once you were not a people, but now you are God's people." Peter is saying we are chosen. We are called literally to be different. We are not called to fit in. We are called to be different, to boldly follow Christ, to go and make disciples. And so tonight, let's be bold. Let's step out, knowing that when we step out on God's word, I don't have a magic trick here. When we step out on God's word, it will catch us. Because the Bible said God's word does not go forth void. And so if there's a promise in God's word, you can step out saying, your word said this, so I'm going to do it. And there might be a couple bumps along the way, but I'm going to do it, and God's word's going to come forth in my life and in my family's life. We have an opportunity to be a community that follows Christ. Let's be men and women that follow Christ, that make it normal for our children and families to follow Christ. Let's set the standard in this community. And I say let's, but I'm speaking to each one of us individually. You set the standard for being bold, for stepping out, for doing what God has called you to do. To boldly follow Christ regardless of what others do. To boldly live lives of generosity and forgiveness. To boldly live lives of generosity and forgiveness. To boldly live lives of love and respect. To boldly live lives of separation from the world and unto God. One more video. Musicians, you can come up. There it is. How many people know what that's from? Sister Caskey? Me and Sister Caskey like The Chosen. God has chosen us to take a different path, to swim a different direction. And while we might feel alone, and you might physically be alone in your school, in your community, you might be the only family on that block. You might be the only person in that middle school or that high school or that elementary school. You might be the only one that shows up to see you at the pole. But God has chosen us to swim a different direction. And even though you might feel alone, you are never alone. He is with us and he will not forsake us. And his word will not forsake us. It will not go forth void. And so we can stand up and be bold and say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take a step out by faith because this is what God is calling us to do. I'm going to stop facing the back of the elevator. I'm going to stop being a lemming and just say, hold on, what does God want? What is the truth for my family that's important? Because that's the direction we're going to face. Let's stand tonight. It's really easy in messages like this to look around and be like, I wonder how many people are going to step out. Let's close our eyes tonight. God is telling you, don't wait. Don't wait for someone else to step out. Do not wait for someone else to step out. Don't wait for another family to start doing it right. Don't wait for another family to start putting God first. to start putting church first, to start putting Bible studies first. Don't wait for them and say, well, if there's enough people facing the back of the elevator, then I'll face the back of the elevator. God says, don't wait for someone else. Step out boldly. Step out and share what God has done with you, in you, with your neighbor. Step out and pray for someone in need right there in that moment, in that grocery store, in that parking lot, in that office complex or parking garage. Step out and find someone to teach a Bible study to. Oh, but I've never taught one. Just read the Bible with them and then talk about it. You need some resources? Brother Ted's here. He'll get you whatever you need, right, Brother Ted? God is asking us to step out and try fasting. God says, step out and try fasting. Step out and commit to reading my word every day. Step out and make a commitment to pray every day. Step out and make a stand for holiness in your home. Saying, we're going to be separate. We're going to be different. Families. Is Brother Kirby here? Brother Kirby, my guy. I'm going to steal this from Ahi and Cami Giwa. They did their marriage thing. And he talked to men. And he talked about defending the space of your home. So Brother Kirby and I always remind each other of that. It's accountability. And so families, I would ask you, what's going to be sacred to you? What's going to be the thing you do because it's the right thing to do? Is it church is what's going to be important? Devotions, Bible readings, prayer, all the above? What is it? Let's stop conforming. God has not called us to conform, people. He's called us to step out. Don't blend in. Don't blend in. You don't want to be facing the back of the elevator. You're going to look just as much like an idiot as everybody else. Let's stand out. This altar's open. You come down to the front. Bring your family. Come by yourself. God, this is not just a message for families. This is for every single person in this church, every individual, because God is saying, I want you to step out. I've got your back. Pray at the front, pray in the back. But God's challenging us tonight to be bold, even if we're alone, because he is with us.
Run and dance for you like nobody's watching. Nobody's watching me and dance for you, my Lord. I'm gonna sing for you like nobody's listening. Nobody's listening and sing for you, my Lord. Not holding anything back. I will worship you with all that I am. And I'm not ashamed to worship the name of Jesus, Jesus. I'm not ashamed to shout out the name of the Lord. Ashamed to worship the name of Jesus, Jesus. I'm not ashamed to shout out the name Jesus, 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 Jesus. I'm gonna worship like nothing else matters, nothing else matters, and worship you, my Lord. I'm gonna worship you like nothing else matters, nothing else matters, and worship you. Ashamed worship the name of Jesus, Jesus. I'm not ashamed to shout out the name of the Lord. I'm not ashamed to worship the name of Jesus, Jesus. I'm not ashamed to shout out the name of the Lord. And I'm not ashamed to worship the name of Jesus, Jesus. I'm not ashamed to worship the name of the Lord. I'm gonna dance for you like nobody's watching, nobody's watching me, and dance for you, my Lord. I'm gonna sing for you like nobody's listening, nobody's listening, and sing for you, my Lord. I'm not holding anything, anything back. I will worship you with all that I am. And I'm not ashamed to worship the name of Jesus, Jesus. I'm not ashamed to shout out the name of the Lord. I'm not ashamed to worship the name of Jesus, Jesus. I'm not ashamed to shout out the name of the Lord. I'm not ashamed to worship the name of Jesus, Jesus. I'm not ashamed shout out the name of the Lord. I'm not ashamed to worship the name of Jesus, Jesus. I'm not ashamed to shout out the name of the Lord. And I'm gonna worship you like nothing else matters, nothing else matters. Worship you, my Lord. I'm gonna worship you like nothing else matters, nothing else matters. And worship you. I will worship you with all that I am. I'm not ashamed to worship the name of Jesus, Jesus. I'm not ashamed to shout out the name of the Lord. I'm not ashamed worship the name of Jesus, Jesus. I'm not ashamed to shout out the name of the Lord. I'm not ashamed to worship the name of Jesus, Jesus. I'm not ashamed to shout out the name the Lord. I'm gonna worship you like nothing else matters, nothing else matters. Worship you, my Lord. like nothing else matters, nothing else matters. Worship you, my Lord.
So now that you know why you want to conform to everybody around you, you can start looking for it. And start asking yourself, am I conforming? Am I facing the back of the elevator? Or am I doing what God has called me to do in my life and my family? Think on it, pray on it, let God speak to you, go forth to be bold. God bless you.